Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we are back. We get a nice opportunity right now to talk to a longtime friend. A longtime friend of mine, actually a much longer time friend of Sid Hartman's. The Twins are doing something very nice. Before every home game, they have a veteran raise the flag before the game on July 4th. Which is Tuesday afternoon against the Angels. That person chosen is a fellow named Tom Swain. Tom Swain is unique on that day in that it will actually be the day of his 96th birthday. Lori Sturtevant of the Star Trib wrote a wonderful book about Tom called Citizen Swain about a year or two ago. Tom joins us right now. And Tom, looking all the way back, you are a veteran of World War II. I know a lot about your life, but I'm not sure what you actually did during World War II. Maybe you could fill us in.
Well, I was in the U.S. Army Air Corps, ground support, no particular heroism, but I ended up in Okinawa and did my duty in 3.5 years or so and escaped any serious injury and lucked out and had a good experience and met some wonderful people and fortunate to get home.
Can you talk about your server spirit, why you served and what you did?
We just did that, Sid.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we just did that. How far do you and Sid go back, Tom? I mean, you actually had
when I got out of the
jobs in the athletic department, yeah.
When I got out of the service in February of 1946, I became the university's first athletic scholastic advisor with my job to get them in school and keep them eligible. Now they got an army doing that, and I've often observed in my next life I want to be a pretend athlete because they get such great academic counseling. But in any event, Sid was a Cub reporter at that time, and he and I connected, and I had a few opportunities to save his hide because he did some things on occasion that crossed with the coaches and others. And
tell us more, Tom.
No doubt, he saved my life. Mr. Ryman wanted to kill me.
That's true.
And Tom stopped him from murder.
Was he just an aggressive reporter, Tom? Is that how you'd phrase it?
Oh, well, you see, he was about the same age as many of the returning veterans who were playing football, right. And some of his actions were a little too overboard in terms of socialization and helping them out, and that was not exactly the thing to do.
Tom, if you were the academic advisor, I assume you were appealing to Sid because of his strong academic background to be able to help out the players.
Well, that's another story.
Was he tutoring them with usher approval?
Well, it was a different kind of tutoring. Something not exactly approved of.
Tom, let me ask you this. You're very close to the university. I don't put you on the spot, but they've so many problems lately. What's your feeling about what's going on over there?
Oh, I have great support for the president. I just think that the incidents involving athletics get too much attention, and too many people view the university solely through the eye of athletics, and when things go sour there, they think everything's wrong. But I think they have an extraordinarily good new athletic director. Mark Coyle is first class. He comes with the right kind of background, and they'll see through those things, and they got a coaching staff that shows great promise, and I think things are on the upswing, and I think the university is the best there is. And if your children have an opportunity to go there, you're fortunate because academic levels now are such that I don't think you or I, Sid, would be able to get in today. They want just such brilliant kids.
Hey, Tom, you know, there's so much to your career. I think Lori did a great job working with you on that book. But some of the more interesting things go all the way back to the state's centennial. And you were tapped to run that and, you know, actually had experience with, brought in a bunch of stars. I think even Judy Garland, didn't she, came in for that?
Yes. Well, Judy was born in Minnesota. I guess she was born in Michigan, but came here in her very, very early years. And, yeah, we brought her back. Oh, boy, that was quite an experience because Christmas. No, statehood day morning, she allowed us out. She needed vodka. And as you recall, Minnesota, what's either different beginning the day.
Right.
But,
it was a Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Sunday. And she said she had to have vodka, and I called my wife to see if she'd drive over to Wisconsin to get vodka. And she told me to go pound sand, and I finally found somebody that did. But then Judy, in a trailer that we had provided for her, locked the door and locked out John Foster Dulles, who was coming to speak as our keynote speaker. And, boy, I had an awful time there.
Did Sid ever make a move on Judy Garland or Mary Tyler Moore that you know of? These are these things that you just
no,
hear
but
about.
They made moves on him because he was
Let me ask you this. You're close to the president of the university. Tell us what your feeling is about him.
I think he's done a first-class job. I'm a solid supporter of him. I think he has... student scores are way up. Graduation rates are up. It's difficult to find a better occasion for him. I think Republican Party, though, views public research universities as run by a bunch of liberals, and they're trying to hold them in check. And I think that's bad news, and we need to be more supportive of our university. And Kaler is first class.
And, Tom, lest anybody think you're playing politics here, I want to remind them you were chief of staff for Republican governor of Minnesota. So
absolutely.
People need to weigh that in when weighing your comments. Tom, I'm going to be there on July 4th. I know a lot of other people are. It's a great honor, and I salute the Twins for what they're doing on this. If you want to get there early, I think it's about 12 or 15 minutes before the start of the game.
12:50.
All right, that's 20 minutes before the first pitch. You'll be out there in right field raising the flag, and they couldn't have picked a more deserving person.
It's a great treat and a great honor, and the Twins are first class.
Thomas Swain, a pleasure having you on the air. I owe you a lot. You saved my life, no doubt about that. And we're going to give you a Murray certificate so you can get a free steak at Murray's. Thank you for going on air.
Okay, I'll take the steak as long as you join me.
And congratulations on this great July 4th thing you're going to do.
Sid, I'm not sure you heard that, but Tom said he will accept the steak only if you join him for that Murray's dinner.
Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Mike.
A little breaking news. Timberwolves signed Taj Gibson, 2 years, $28 million. So that's who they're going to go with when they didn't get Millsap. Gibson will come to the Minnesota.
We'll talk
to Jerry Zagota about that 11:30.
Yeah, we'll let that information percolate while we take this break. And, again, you just teed it up. Jerry Zagota, who covers the Minnesota Timberwolves for Sid's newspaper, will join us in 17 minutes from right now. And we've got that breaking news to talk about. Taj Gibson, now a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves, or to be a member. We'll take a break right here. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back. It's funny who you meet in the health club once in a while. I was out lifting, and look next to me, and there's Max Williams, big Max Williams at the health club at Lifetime there. And of course, I work out with these guys. I'm in the same kind of general area when we're throwing weights around, something like that. Max, it was good to see you the other day, and good to see your father, of course, who played for the Gophers and the Giants and has had such an impact on you. How has he helped you since you got to the NFL?
You know, he's always just been doing the same thing he did back when I was in college, just basically supporting me and always having my back no matter what it is and being there if I need advice for anything.
How's your health right now?
Doing really good. Had the knee surgery last year, coming back nice and strong, and looking forward to get to play football again.
Max, when you train in the off season like this, you prepare for a season. What does that mean to an NFL player? What kind of workouts do you go through? I was watching the other day, pretty intense, but it's all changed. You guys are like machines and robots now in terms of getting your body ready.
You know, it's just basically the way I do it is I try to be in the best running shape I can because I know you just got to run for days, like our coach likes to say, and you just try to be as, like basically as strong and flexible and as much movement as you can, just so you can compete with all those elite athletes.
Max, how do you fit into the offense? We know you, of course, as a wide receiver, but you also have the capability to be more like, I mean, when you're a tight end. But, I mean, you are capable of certainly playing the wide receiver and providing an additional kind of threat downfield. How have you been used so far in the pros?
You know, basically how I was being used in college. And unfortunately, I had the injury last year, so I didn't really get much. But, you know, we'll see what happens this season.
Talk about your family and their background in sports with the Gophers and so on. Could you talk about that?
I can't hear you.
Sid just asked you, I asked about your father, but he said give the background because your uncle played for the Gophers, your mother did. Sid just asked for a background on the Gopher connection to the Williams family.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it actually started way back with my mom's dad. My grandpa actually played 1 year at the Gophers back in, I think, 62, but had to stop and go back to the family farm. But, yeah, ever since then, my dad and mom met there the freshman year, and then my uncle, Ron Getz, was following about 2 years later, so I knew once I was going into college, I had to try keeping the family and go play for Coach Hill.
John Harbaugh,
how do you like playing for Harbaugh?
I love it. I mean, he's a great guy. He's an unbelievable coach, and he really means what he likes to say, and he really cares about his faith and his family and us as players. So really, I really do enjoy being out there playing for him.
Mark Trestman was there for a year, and of course, he's a local as well. He's back in Canada as he is the head coach of Toronto. Did you get a chance to know him pretty well?
I did, and it was nice having that little Minnesota connection because it was easy to talk about things and really connect that way. And I wish him all the best up there in Canada. I know he does really well up there.
And Leslie Frazier was on the defensive side of the ball. Did you spend any time with him? I know it's the other side of the ball.
I did. I did see him throughout the year itself and talk to him. And when he took the job at Buffalo, I was able to see him that day he was leaving. He wished me luck and wished me all the best for the rest of my career.
How about the former head Viking coach? He's there. Any relationship with him?
Well, that was Leslie Frazier again. We covered that already.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So Max, you only got about 3 weeks left before the season starts, huh?
Oh, yeah. I report the 21st of July. So right now it's the last little week here in Minnesota. Get to see my family and get to be out on the lake for the 4th of Laconia and get back and then really get ready for camp.
Hey, Max, Gopher fans will remember you. Remember your hurdling. Now, you didn't do it that often, but when you did it successfully. In the pros, do you get any commentary on that? Do they discourage it? Because I suppose it enhances the chance of injury. But I have to give you credit. It sure worked for you.
Yeah, you know, they'll give you crap if you do it, but they say, hey, it's your choice, it's your career. If you want to jump, you got to pay the consequences if someone catches you doing it.
Yeah, I remember when you did it in Orlando. I think your dad had a heart attack there in that bowl game against Missouri. Jerry Kill, though, you stay in touch with him. He's really not that far away from you at Rutgers, and you still stay in touch with Coach, right?
Definitely. I talk to Coach probably once a month. He'll give me a call. I'll give him a call just to stay in touch. And Coach Kill, like I said, when I was coming out, he was like family to me and really supported me and had my back no matter what when I was making my decision to leave and really was there for me once I left. So I try to stay in as much contact with Coach Kill as I can and support him whatever I have to with him.
Max Williams, for being on the show, we're going to make you happy. We're going to get you a merge certificate so you can go get that best steak. And the Superman that runs this show will get your address.
Perfect.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Max, if you stay in the line for just a second, we'll get that address to where to send that certificate. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back, talk a little bit, and then at 11:30, which is a little less than 9 minutes for right now, Jerry Zagoda will join us. I'm sure Jerry is on the line trying to learn as much as he can about that announcement in the last 5 minutes that Taj Gibson will be joining the Minnesota Timberwolves. So take this break, and we'll come back right after this. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. Just to promote them again, we'll take a break here in about 3 minutes because Jerry Zagoda will be talking to us, and Jerry covers the Timberwolves for the paper. Mike, I didn't know we'd have breaking news this early this morning. Obviously, the last we heard, they were in pursuit of Millsaps, but Taj Gibson was always the number two guy. Yeah. I'm guessing, and this means Millsaps is probably going to join Denver, but Gibson, you know, we got three new names on that roster who are all going to be significant players.
Yeah, and all of them kind of in that same the Midwest, Indiana, Chicago. Thibodeau knows him well, two that he coached. Gibson was obviously number two on their list for power forwards. It's what they needed was a power forward. So now they're set. I mean, any moves they make from here on out are not going to be real impact because they're out of money in terms of the salary cap.
What kind of year did he have last year?
Look his numbers up, Hammer, but he's been a solid player and at one time was a very good player. On that Chicago team that's been, you know, between Derrick Rose and Paul Gasol and everybody is somewhere else now, you know, and obviously Butler coming here, they've completely.
Think they're done?
Well, we were just saying they're out of money to make any significant moves now. They'll sign some maybe a catch and shoot type 3-point shooter, something like that. Maybe Dunleavy, somebody like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on money. It makes you wonder what they're going to do with Muhammad because that's.
Yeah.
$5.5 million or so. And I mean, with this and the numbers we heard, $28 million over 2 years, that's just about what they had left in the bank. So Sid, the kind of guys they're going to pick up are going to be sort of roster filler guys. They don't have much money left for big names after these three big signings.
So they did pretty good. I still can't understand the Rubio situation.
Well, they needed the money. You know, it's all about salary cap. They basically gave him away to get the salary cap to make the other moves.
Yeah.
Well, they could have found a way to keep him.
Well, sure, you could. Yeah, yeah, I mean, obviously you could
have. Moves.
But his number got them both to Teague and Gibson, in essence, when you reconfigured the pot, and that's what they wanted was two players instead of one.
Why? What makes you think Teague will be better than Rubio?
Nobody said that he'd
Doesn't
be better.
We're
just
think.
Talking about the mathematics of it. And you know Thibodeau. You like him. You think he's a good coach. Well, don't you think he knows what he's doing?
Yeah. Well, he's on the spot, too. I mean, he made all these moves. They better produce.
Yeah, they moved from 29 to 31 wins. I don't think he's satisfied with that. You know, it was interesting. The national reaction to the signings, of course, there's been none to Gibson yet. Stu Reeson is very positive. The people who cover the NBA at the national level have elevated the Timberwolves significantly, mm-hmm. mostly on the basis of the Butler move.
And by the way, you better, because the West is a beast. I mean, Oklahoma City picks up Paul George. Houston goes and gets Chris Paul. Of course, he's in the West either way. Golden State is Golden State. I mean, this thing ain't getting any easier.
Here's the thing. Thibodeau has really put himself on the spot. If Butler don't turn out to be a superstar, this thing is going to be not very good.
You're right, and I think Thibodeau's at a stage in his career where he says, I'll roll the dice.
Yeah,
you know, he's getting $8 million a year. He's got all the money that he's ever going to need, so let's go for it because he wasn't happy last year, so I'm in charge of this operation. I don't think that Glenn Taylor necessarily agrees with him on every decision, but I think he allows him to run the show.
We can speculate all we want. I think Jerry Zagoda is right on top of this, especially breaking news this morning with the announcement in the last 25 minutes that the Timberwolves apparently have come to terms with Taj Gibson to be joining the team. So we have got an appointment with Jerry in about 2.5 minutes. Let's take a break here and come back to talk Timberwolves basketball right after this. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are back, and when we were brilliantly deciding to call Jerry Zagoda 30 minutes ago, we had no idea that we would call him to discuss breaking news. Sid, your colleague, is on the phone right now.
Well, this Gibson, what's the scoop on him? How good is he? And how much will he help the team? And how much money do you give him?
2 years, $28 million, so $14 million a year, which in this day and age is almost a bargain with the NBA. 32 years old, veteran, guy who played 5 years with Thibodeau in Chicago, so they know each other well. And certainly not a real flashy signing, but a really solid one, a guy that does all the little things. I know they aimed high. They went after Paul Millsap. That probably got a little too pricey, just like their interest in Kyle Lowry was. And so now they've made two signings here in the free agency. I'm sure they're not done yet, but, you know, they added Jeff Teague. None of these can be official until Thursday because of the moratorium the NBA has, but they can reach agreement. So they reached agreement on a couple days ago with Teague, and then today, this morning, I think this turned last night when Denver emerged as the favorites to sign Millsap, and they turned their attention to Gibson. And that's a good get for them because I thought he might stay in Oklahoma City now that the Thunder have Paul George and have a pretty good team, but maybe that was all salary cap stuff. They couldn't afford him. And Tibbs and Scott Layden came in, and they've got their second signing now.
Is he, you know, J.J. Redick, they looked at, and he got $24 million for 1 year from Philadelphia. Would he have, if they could have got him, would he have superseded a power forward, do you think?
Well, they need shooting, but I think their position of need more was, I mean, J.J. probably would have come off the bench, would have been nice. I think their position, they feel like the position of need forward. I'm not sure Gorgui Dieng is a natural there. You put him back at backup center, even though he's making, what, $14, $15 million. That's a lot for a backup, but he's more suited there. That helps your bench by moving him there. And, you know, I suppose Gorgui could still stay there and you could bring Gibson off the bench, but I would suspect he becomes a starter. And just a guy, you know, it's getting the band back together. You got Butler first, who comes from Chicago with Tibbs, and now we got Gibson. And, you know, he's the kind of guy they need, just a really stabilizing, you know, veteran presence.
Okay. The Rubio thing, did that surprise you?
No, not at all. I mean, you could see the writing on the wall. As it got closer, you figured it was going to be for some. You know, when there was all the talk at the trade deadline with Derrick Rose and a Rubio trade, all that would have been was a salary dump. And this, by and large, was too. They got a first-round draft pick out of it that they can maybe use in other moves here that they're going to make here in the coming days. You kind of knew that. I mean, Thibodeau never came out and said it, but that he wasn't really the kind of a point guard. I just think he felt that you can't win, particularly in the playoffs at the end of the games, with a point guard who the other team really doesn't have to defend. This is a league all about scoring point guards, and Teague is a better scorer. He wants a guy. I mean, Thibodeau is very methodical. There's certain things he believes in, and they're not really a long list, but it's a really kind of building blocks. And one of them is get into the paint, collapse the defense, kick the ball. And Teague's a good pick and roll player, quick, can do that. And I think he felt that was more his kind of guy.
Talking to Jerry Zagoda, who does a fantastic job covering the Timberwolves for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Okay, is Teague, would Teague help him more than Rubio did?
Well, I guess it all depends on what you value. And the question is, with Ricky, the way he finished last season, the last 2 months of the season after the All-Star break, was that the new Ricky? I mean, that was the kind of player everyone had been waiting 6 years for. More aggressive offensively, getting to the rim, scoring. His shot got better. More, you know, I don't know what his percentages were off the top of my head. It probably should, but much better that way. So the question was, is that the guy going forward, or is that sort of an aberration? And apparently, clearly, Thibodeau thought it, you know, that it wasn't, you know, this kind of new player you're going to see. Now, he may go to Utah and be that player that he was the last 2 months, but I think by then Thibodeau had already made up his mind.
Jerry, what's Muhammad's situation? If the Timberwolves need some more money, that's an obvious position to look at.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they bring him back, but I think it's all dependent on what else they can do. And I haven't had time here really to calculate, their money. They're down probably in somewhere in the single digits of what they have left now, but they have options. I mean, they've got that first round pick they got from Utah that they could use to try to get someone to trade for Cole Aldridge and his $6 or $7 million salary. I think it's $7 million coming next season. You know, they could also they could renounce Boz's right. That would give them some more cash. So I think it all depends what else they can do and what they have lined up. So certainly it's a possibility he comes back, but if they want to get creative and go in a different way, you know, he is not the most defensive minded player. Teague isn't either, which was kind of surprising about that agreement that Tibbs kind of valued his offense and what he can do more, because he is certainly not as good a defensive player as Ricky is.
Do you think they're going to try to find another point guard? They want three point guards going in, Tyus, Teague, and one more?
I think he'd like a veteran guy. I think, you know, I don't know whether it's a Darren Collison or somebody like that, you know, who I'm not sure they're convinced that where they want to get to this year, that Tyus is the guy to do that full time. And certainly you can use him and play him with other point guards. But I think, you know, it all depends on money. You know, you get down to the cap, I mean, they're going to be, when it's all said and done in this, they're going to be right at the cap, which means they're going to get a couple salary exceptions. So the mid-level, I think, is $8.4 million, and the other one's $3 million something. So you can, those are two players you can add in above the cap. So in this market, you can probably get yourself a decent player for the $8 million and maybe a backup point guard for the other one. So, you know, there are ways to get creative and add, because right now they really need to address their bench. I mean, even if you move Gorgui to the to the bench, you still got to, you know, you've got Bielitsa, but to, you really have to improve there, and that's where they're going to have to do some work here in the coming days.
Jerry, I was reading your notes. They signed a couple of undrafted guys, at least one of whom seemed kind of interesting. I agree with you totally, and they need to do something about, you know, probably players number 12, 13, and 14, but not a lot written about those guys, and a couple of them have some interesting stats.
Are you talking about like the guy from Iowa State?
And, yeah.
Those, I mean, for now, those are summer league signings, and, you know, people see that this time of year, and they think they're signed to the team, and that's usually a long shot. I guess it depends. It'll be interesting because you don't know how things are going to change this year because the new CBA has changed the structure of rosters a little bit in that they've added these two extra roster spots. So it's now going to be a 17-man roster, but those are two-way players. They're going to go back and forth primarily in the new G League or what used to be the D League. So how that's all going to work yet, I'm not certain. But, you know, those are kind of guys I would think would be for that category. I think when you're talking the strict 15-man roster, it's very rare that undrafted guys get signed and make it. It happens occasionally, but normally they'll fill it up. Now we'll see because, you know, Thibodeau's been doing this for 30 years. He's got all the connections. We'll see what kind of guys he can get here to come for a minimum price that he knows and trusts. And, you know, last summer was this huge spending frenzy, and this year has been a little more. I mean, there were guys who've gotten their money, but it hasn't been nearly as crazy as last year. And it'll be interesting when the music stops, who's left standing and no chairs open. And there may be a couple guys they can scoop up and get at a good deal.
How about Trey Burke or Randy Foy?
Randy Foy, I think, is a possibility. I know Tibbs likes him. I don't know how he feels about Trey Burke. And he's passed through a couple of different teams, but
yeah.
Foy is the kind of guy, if not exactly him, but the kind of guy they're going to go and get.
Yeah, steady as she goes, kind of.
For you know, a guy who's been in the league, who makes some shots, and you can get for a good price, you know. And, you know, if by chance they had gotten Kyle Lowry, I think a guy like Randy Foy would have even been more likely because they're buddies. But I still think that's a possibility. I know he talked with him last year before all the stuff was finalized, and it just didn't work out. They didn't have a place for him. But that kind of guy is, you know, the kind of guy that they're going to fill those last couple spots with.
Jerry Sagota covers the Timbers for the Star Tribune. For being on the show, we'll get your merge certificate. Thank you very much.
Jerry, before I let you go, I got one question that I've waited to have you back on to ask. Is a point coming when everyone's going to take a chance on Royce White? He figured out how to make things work in Canada. He's a great talent. If anybody might do it, it'd be the home team.
I've been texting with him all weekend. He just got back in town.
Yeah, you know, somebody would. I'm not sure. Thibodeau is the kind of guy to do that. I mean, just personality wise, I'm not sure if this would be the place.
Point.
But you think somebody would try? I mean,
and now we'll have to start with. He's going to have to go play for a summer team here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're a little bit about, you know, just who you're bringing into the locker room, I'm not sure if that's the right fit, but certainly he has the talent to play in the league.
No question. Thanks for joining us. That's Jerry Sagota. Take a break here. Talk more sports after this. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome back, Sports Huddle. Mike, Max, Dave, Bonus, Sid Hartman. Sid had a chance to go one-on-one. This is an exclusive to the Sports Huddle with Vikings long snapper Kevin McDermott. Again, this is an exclusive one-on-one, just Sid Hartman and Kevin McDermott. And he starts the interview with an interesting take because McDermott is from Nashville and knows a lot about the Predators, so he was maybe still reeling just a touch from the Stanley Cup Finals.
How did you become a snapper?
So I was a tight end in my middle school, and we only had 14 guys on our team, and someone had to learn how to long snap, so I was the person who volunteered, and I've been doing it ever since.
Did you snap in high school, too?
I snapped in middle school, high school, and then I was a tight end walk-on UCLA's team for 3 years and then snapped my last 2 years that I was there.
How did you get with the Vikings? You've handled all snaps since 2015.
Yeah, so I was a rookie with the 49ers, played there for a year, and then I played for the Baltimore Ravens for a year. So I played for both Harbaugh brothers back-to-back years.
You were at Baltimore first, right?
San Francisco first, then Baltimore. And then I was lucky enough to land here, and I've been, you know, very lucky to have Coach Prefer as a coach, and I just love the Vikings.
How many kickers have you snapped for?
Well, let's see. Blair and Kai, and now that Marshall Kane is here in the mix, him as well. So three total.
Okay. How about your association with UCLA? How many UCLA guys that you played with were here at one time?
Well, we had five at one time, and we still have five now that Kai is here. Right now it's Kai Forbath, myself, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, and Dayton Jones.
How about your situation at the 49ers? Talk about that.
We went to the NFC title game that year and ended up losing to the Seahawks. So that was a tough loss, but it was a great rookie year. It was a veteran team, and I had some great special teams players around me that I got to learn a lot from.
Was Boone on that team there? Talk about your association, Boone, and how well the team did that pair.
Well, Boone and I knew each other very well. He was my guard on field goal on the 49ers, and he's my guard here on field goal at the Vikings. So we've known each other for quite a while.
Talk about Forbath, your association with him.
Well, so I was at school for 3 years with Kai, and I never snapped to him in a game, but he's a great kicker, and, you know, he won the Lou Groza when he was in college and then has had a successful NFL career.
How much pressure is there on the snapper? Have you had any bad snaps?
Well, I don't like to think so. You don't like to think about any bad ones, but, you know, we at our position can't have a bad one. And if you get noticed, you're not doing your job very well. So I just like to fly under the radar and focus on take each snap and you know, make it my best.
How much? What kind of practice do you intern to be ready to be a good snapper?
Well, it takes a lot of preparation off the field. You have to know what the protections are on field goal and punt, and then. You know, we're out here getting reps with the punters and the kickers every day during OTAs and mini camp. And then when training camp gets around, it's time to start hitting people.
What do you think of the punters they got ahead? They got a big contest for the punters. What do you think of the punters here as you snap to?
They're working really hard. It's been awesome getting to know both of them, Taylor Semenk and Ryan Quigley. And I think that it'll be a great competition throughout training camp.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Sid.
I guess that wasn't the interview where he asked him about the Stanley Cup. That was the other Kevin McDermott interview that he did. Of course, he speaks to someone like that on a regular basis.
I think you're right, Mike. We need to go to our final break here, make room for Frank Sinatra. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we are back. Haven't had much of a chance to take phone calls. Let's go to Marty in New Ulm. Marty, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my call, and congratulations to you on your fine show and your continued excellent coverage of Gopher football. We'll be depending on you to give us regular updates from now until the beginning of the football season, and we hope that you can be instrumental in getting more of the student body into the football stadium this next year.
I think PJ is going to work on that. I could see PJ hitting the campus probably.
Yeah, he's got pizza party written all over him.
Yeah, I think the freshman won't get through orientation without having a meeting with PJ Fleck.
I thought Sid would have more of an influence on that since they went to TCF Bank Stadium. But, Sid, you have not been able to get the students to show up on a regular basis for football games at TCF Bank Stadium. I thought you would be able to do that.
You got a bunch of new deals on season tickets. You got to buy three games and all that kind of stuff. The big problem they got is not only the students, but the 25 to 54 don't go to Gopher games. And they're not going to get them go those games until they win. They got to start beating Michigan.
None of us have ever defined what win means, though.
Huh?
I mean, they won 9 games last year.
And they didn't draw.
But what's winning mean? What is the definition of win? I don't know, Dave.
Yeah, Mike, I think PJ is going to be successful in getting the younger crowd out. I think they'll do well with the students. But, you know, how well they do the schedule is attractive early. It gets very tough near the end. What kind of start they get off to, what kind of football they play, all of that's going to make a difference. I think the last I heard, their season tickets were up just under 1,000, and that was about a week or 10 days
so it's after a wait and PJ see was deal. Named. Yeah.
I haven't gotten an update on that. I think it's up a bit, but who knows? We've got a text message here, gentlemen. It said, who do we think, before it's announced, will be announced from the Twins on the All-Star team? Sid, you think Sano is going to make it? It was getting closer and closer as the voting neared an end.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he's got it made. I mean, how could he not put him on there?
Well, it's all about the votes. Huh? If he got enough votes.
But you mean as a starter?
As a starter.
I don't know if he'll make it. I think Sano and Santana will be their two guys. You know, Kinsler's had a decent year as a closer, but there's a lot of good closers always.
I don't see the Twins getting two pitchers on there. So, and Santana, I mean, clearly, based on what happened until about 3 weeks ago, who knows how it's going to go. That's a manager's choice. I'm not sure. I can't remember when we hear the manager's picks. We will learn the league's picks, or the voters' picks. That will be this afternoon. That was the reason if people joined us late, we could not get a tune on today. Pardon me?
He got enough votes, has he?
We don't know. They ended the voting, and then there's this two-day quiet period, and they announced today.
So how are they doing this, though, that it seems like, you know, there was a time when, you know, teams would lobby to get all their players in, and they get people to vote for them. Now it seems like it's a more educated vote. What have they done? Is that because of online voting or what?
Well, yeah, the online voting, but I'm not sure how effective it's been eliminating. You can get up to 35 votes from one email address, so... does that make the 35 the new one? Because people
are
hitting it again and again. And the Twins schedule had them on the road a lot during the latter stages of the voting. In some of those cities, there were big campaigns. You saw in Cleveland, Ramirez had a strong run-up. We talked about Donaldson had a strong run-up. Yep. All of a sudden, there's a lot of well-performing third baseman. Moustakas is having a career year in Kansas City.
22 home runs, right? Yeah.
Well, I thought he's locked in, but maybe he's not.
Well, we'll find out this afternoon.
He'll make it, though. It's reserve,
One way or another. But, you know, he had the most votes at third base all along. But the margin was getting smaller and smaller. And then they didn't announce anything near the end to have some element of suspense. We'll hear that a little bit later in the day. I'll see another text message. Do you see the Twins being buyers or sellers? We got that 2 weeks ago, Sid. I think it's too early to know if they're going to be buyers or sellers. You know, I think they'll wait. With that second wild card spot available, you have to go later and later into the year to figure out if you have any chance.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know more about that than I do.
I'll throw in a little plug here. I was at De La Salle this weekend for the Summer Basketball League that used to be called the Howard Pulley. And they get nice crowds for that now, the basketball-educated people. I spent some time with Trevor Mbakwe, who just played in Europe. Matt Janning also played in Europe. He's played in the NBA from Watertown, Mayer, and Northeastern. Gopher players are playing in it. Roy Sweat, we just mentioned, I've been chatting with him back and forth. He'll play in it when he gets here. It's a fun – if people like basketball, De La Salle on – it won't be this week because of the holiday week, but on Monday through Thursday, basically, some fun basketball.
I'm planning to get over there. It sounds like fun. I want to thank our guest today, starting with Jimmy Butler. It seems like a long time ago. Steve Rushen, the name of his new book, Stingray Afternoons. P.J. Fleck, Kyle Rau, Tom Swain, David Morgan, Max Williams, Jerry Zagoda, Kevin McDermott. If you didn't hear the breaking news, Timberwolves apparently have come to terms with Taj Gibson. A lot of details later in the day. We'll find out who the All-Star is. Do it again next week. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.